You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Can only come from you. Ghetto people, yeah.
What are you gonna
gonna do?
Do you really think that?
Do you think it all? Yeah.
Our government cares about
they
you.
They ain't giving up a second thought about you. No. Ghetto people.
Who you gonna turn to next?
Tell
ghetto
me.
People.
You gotta take a look at yourself.
Ghetto people.
With your life
running like a red disease,
running like a red disease. Ghetto people,
stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself. You got to learn to love yourself. Ghetto people.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Maafa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Maafa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement: Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Denmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted. And we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashe. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything is well with you today. It's going to be a great day, so I hope you get a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. And I hope the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But if it isn't and you need to get it done, you will. But if you don't, you stay home. Be safe. And if you do go out to do what you have to do, you wear a mask. Be safe. More on that later. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to the archives of the timeforanawakening.com and look at the top and podcast, click on that, and then there will be programs. When you click on that, it'll be African Perspectives. Click on that, then there will be programs that are dated and titled. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. This program, once again, is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. All times are going to give are Eastern times. On Monday evenings, Acres of Diamonds from 6 to 8, public affairs programming out of Philadelphia with Brother Wahad, followed by Conversation, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. And then on Friday, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, that's right, brothers and sisters, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. On Saturdays, Black Reality Think Tank Weekend Edition from 4 to 6, followed by from 6 to 8, Black Reality Think Tank Sankofa, the Elders Circle with Brother, I'm sorry, with Brother Alfonso Watkins. Just something in my paper here. Okay. On Sunday at 7 p.m., once again, it's Time for an Awakening at 7 p.m. with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And then every Monday through Friday, 10 p.m. Eastern to 12 a.m., it's the Warm Valentine Show right here on Time for an Awakening Media. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses from WeBuyBlack.com. The largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses is WeBuyBlack.com. And the website has been loaded, and it got a lot of good stuff for masks and gloves and all kinds of stuff like that, sanitizers on WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans. Africa40Africans.org, Brother Bomani Tahimba. He had many good trips upcoming, but they, of course, because of the coronavirus, the COVID-19, they had to be rescheduled.
And so, but you can give Brother Bomani a call at 404-931-9429, 404-931-9429. And he has a trip upcoming, and that is going to be going to South Africa, November 20th through the 30th of November for $3,700 only. And then a trip to Ghana, December 24th through January 5th, 2021, for also $3,700. That's right. Check out Brother Bomani Tayemba, AfricaForTheAfricans.org. If you want to see pictures of previous trips, go to Facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos of previous trips, go to YouTube.com/Bomani2007. Renoko Rashidi. Renoko, my good brother and friend, Renoko Rashidi, is planning a trip to Senegal and Gambia. No, he's not. That's Uganda and Rwanda, October 5th through the 16th. Uganda and Rwanda, that was the first trip way back at the beginning of the year. And that's, no, October 5th through the 16th, Uganda and Rwanda, about $4,200. And then when he gets back from there, he's going out right away again, October 22nd till November 4th to Kemet, to Egypt, also around about $4,200. But if you go on Renoko, drrenoko.com, and you can check out the pictures that he has about the upcoming trip in October, Rwanda and Uganda and Rwanda. Beautiful pictures. Okay. Habesha. HabeshaIncorporated.org. Go to brothers and sisters. Go to HabeshaIncorporated.org. Look at the website. Look what they're doing. They deserve to be supported. Look at the Kashi Project, the village that they're building in Ghana. Their work is being done. It's supposed to be done by the end of the year in Ghana. So I'm telling you, people who are doing the work, we're going to give credit to. That's why next week, Wednesday, I got the Ledge program. The Ledge Group, they're ones that are doing work in Africa too, not just in Ghana, but in other parts of Africa as well, with agriculture and so forth. So I'm very excited that Brother Nkosi will be my guest next week, Wednesday. The Ledge Group. So they're doing what Habesha is doing and that what other organizations should be doing in Africa. In Africa. Yeah. Okay, we're done. The Medu, I haven't seen that the shrine is open, but when they do, we'll contact them and talk about what's going on at the shrine. We'll let you know. But in the meantime, the Medu bookstore is open. The Greenbrier Mall is open. Their hours are from 12 to 7. But the Medu bookstore, Mama Nia, will be there for your help. To help you find a book or whatever you're looking for. And the number to call, 404-346-3263. 404-346-3263. That's the Medu bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall here in Atlanta. Another bookstore in Lithonia, the Black Dot Cultural Center bookstore in Lithonia, my good brother Kazimdi Ajamu. And the number to call there is 404-519-8107. 404-519-8107. 8107. Remember, there is light in the black dot. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located in the West End here in Atlanta on Abernathy, 878 Abernathy. And the number to call is 404-444-1635. 404-444-1635. And they have We Buy Black Products. There used to be a kiosk right next to the Medu bookstore, right across from the Medu bookstore, in that kiosk right there, that was We Buy Black. And then I came to the mall and bam, they were gone. But they're located some of their products at Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. So you can pick up their laundry detergent, the toothbrushes. Oh, man, I can come back with a list of all the things that they have there. So if you're in the Atlanta area and you're in the West End area of Atlanta, next to the West End Mall, next to Soul Veg up the street from the Shrine of the Black Madonna. And there's Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. But not only do they have We Buy Black, but they also have athletic wear. And some brothers and sisters are selling jewelry and so forth right there in Wadada's. Athletics is the athletic wear quality made with the African themes of Omex, the Moors, the Dogon Star Seed, the Herus, the Rebels. Yeah, I'm telling you, love it. I got me a Marcus Garvey shirt. That's right, the Garveyites. Yeah. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people. Us Lifting Us. Go to Us Lifting Us. And I say this. Become a member of Us Lifting Us. It is an economic development cooperative in the spirit of Ujamaa, cooperative economics, or as we like to say, family-centered economics. You know, Us Lifting Us. A Thursday night broadcast, every Thursday night on Blog Talk, Blog Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com/ Us Lifting Us. Their program, Dare to Win. Or you can use your phone to listen or ask a question. And that number on Thursday nights at 9 p.m. from 9 to 10 is 929-477-2789. 929-477-2789. Us Lifting Us every Thursday night. Tomorrow night, 9 p.m. Eastern. Sanjay Dash Aiti, with my good friend and sister, Sister Gabrielle Aurelia. Sister Gabby, she's doing the work in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti, the rural area. So, you know, usually the rural area there suffer tremendously, but yet she's providing some sustenance. She's providing education for the children, health care, sustainable agriculture, entrepreneurship. Brothers and sisters, we need to go. We need to support Sanjay Dash Aiti. S-O-N-J-E Dash Aiti. A-Y-I-T-I.org. Sanjay Dash Aiti. Akabin Institute. Brothers and sisters, make your check or money order out to Akabin Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia 30310. That's Akabin Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia 30310. If you want to use PayPal and Cash App, when you go to PayPal and Cash App, put the dollar sign, YAA, the letter M, and then Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I, and set up a monthly donation, $5, $10, $25, $50, $100, whatever it is. The work that they're doing deserves to be supported. If you're listening to this program, you know that. African Perspectives. That's this program. Well, Akabin Institute's 6th Annual Complementarity Conference. That's going to be July 18th. Saturday, July 18th from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. It's an online program. So what you got to do, okay, and it's $10 per person. Contact Akabin Institute, go online, put the information in, your name, your email address. So that's because they're going to send you the link so you can participate on that Saturday afternoon in the Complementarity Conference. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be great. Yep, it is. Yep. The Enye Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. June 23rd. Oppression should be shouted down like a bully on a playground, or beat down like a rapist. Chinyelu. It is not a matter of blaming Europeans. It's a matter of understanding that they are the blame. Let me say that again. It's not a matter of blaming them, Europeans. It is a matter of understanding that they are to blame. By no means are they now or then innocent. If it were not for them, we would not have reason to be angry at each other for what we have allowed to happen to us. If we want to distill it down to a matter, it is a matter of them starting it and us finishing it. This is how warriors, those revolutionaries, uncompromising souls who are keenly aware that their people have been unjustly attacked, think, and how they think and how they act. Affirm, I understand that Europeans are to blame. Affirm, I understand that Europeans are to blame. June 24th, the fall of a nation begins in individual homes. African, the Akan proverb, African proverb, the Akan. The concept of individualism that our enslaved ancestors were forced to adapt has devastated our sense of trust, community, and cultural identity. It has become one of the most damaging definitions that we have accepted as a norm for ourselves. For in it, individuals are conditioned to make selfish, other-oriented choices without allegiance or connection to their heritage and community. Sadly, we have accepted this notion that the communal behavior retards individual development, not realizing that its internalization helps to destroy us. To the Western mind, being part of a communal group implies that you are not thinking for yourself. You are like the Borg of the Star Trek, fame, who have absolutely no identity outside of the group, who thinks with one mind. You are a drone in a hive, with a specific repetitive task designed to ensure the survival of the queen. Accepting this mentality has led us to believe that it took the divine intelligence of European individualism to correct our misguided communal nature. The logic is that we were locked in an entropic, individuality suffocating, group domineering mentality, controlled and owned by stifling, overbearing, and creative suppressing societies with no independent thoughts of our own. As the fiction goes, Europeans liberated us from this group confinement, allowing us to unleash our formerly constrained natural individual abilities. And, of course, for this blessing, we should be eternally grateful. Not. Affirm. I'm an individual working for the betterment of my community. Affirm, I am an individual working for the betterment of my community. The Inye Sesim of daily revolutionary thought. Well, I don't know what I'm going to talk about today, family.
Yes, I do.
At least I better. Yeah. Well, I'm going to talk today about America. Hey, you know what? I'm going to play that again. I want what I played the other day about Africa. I'm going to play that because it needs to be heard consistently. We need to know that it is our turn. It is our turn. We need to be ready. Because it's our turn. Africa has everything it needs except the will to make it happen. Africa does not need Chinese building a damn thing or anybody else. Africa needs nothing. We have it. Africans need to go home. Take the skills, take the learning. Take the muscle, whatever it is that you have, go home, help build. Africa can build roads, highways, railroads, ports, hospitals, schools, cities, towns, subdivisions. Africa can do all of those things. The question becomes, do we have the will? when you realize how damaged the continent is, how damaged we are, and the image of us globally by design, the idea of the imposition of individualism. I always said that individualism is a European Caucasian desire, but collectivism is an African imperative. It is a must. We are a communal people. It is our turn.
Africa, it's your turn. You have a $7 trillion economy represented by 54 countries and 1.3 billion people with an average age of just 18 years. Africa, it's your turn. Half of the gold ever mined on Earth comes from your womb. You are the world's largest platinum producer. You have the world's second largest diamond reserves. And you have enough minerals to feed the whole world. Africa, it's your turn. You host 6 of the 10 fastest growing economies in the world. You will have a labor force of over 1 billion workers by the year 2030, bigger than any other continent. You will be the fastest urbanizing continent from 2020 to 2050. Africa, it's your turn. You have 60% of the world's unfarmed arable land, 30% of the world's natural resources, and 12% of the world's oil. Africa, it's your turn. Because you are the world's youngest population by over 10 years, you will soon have the world's fastest growing education sector. Now, what does that mean? It means you are training the world's biggest labor force, building the world's fastest growing real estate industry, developing the world's most robust industrial movement, clothing the world's fastest growing fashion industry, and producing food for the world's biggest FMCG sector. Africa, it's your turn. With the fourth industrial revolution spreading like a wildfire throughout the continent, Africa is the world's fastest growing online community. In 2013, you had 167 million internet users. This number is expected to be over 600 million people by 2025 and over 1 billion people by year 2035. More than half of Africa's population will be online by year 2030. This will translate to accelerated economic growth in other sectors as digital transformation spreads rapidly across all industries. In 2020, Africa is already producing mobile apps, electric buses, drones, artificial intelligence technologies, and smart services. Africa, it's your turn. It's your turn to build. It's your turn to innovate. It's your turn to manufacture and to create. It's your turn to believe in your own greatness, to buy your own products, to export more than you import, to produce more than you consume. Africa, it's your turn. It's your turn to lead and not to follow, to trade by your own terms, to play by your own rules, to create your own solutions that will solve your own problems. Africa, it's your turn to write your own history, to tell your own stories in your own languages and for your own descendants. Africa, it's your turn to fill stadiums for your own musicians, to download their songs and compositions by the millions, to support your own sports teams and wear their jerseys more frequently than you wear those from overseas. Africa, it's your turn to fund your own movies and give them budgets they can work with so they will write scripts that inspire dreams. and show your teens possibilities that exist beyond their current realities. Africa, it's your turn to reward your own excellence, to encourage your own risk takers, and to help them rise from their failures. To create your own platforms where greatness can be mass-produced. Africa, Africa, it's your turn to see, to pursue, and to achieve. To unite, to partner, and to trade beyond regional borders. To believe in each other more than another. To stand for Africa, and to make her prosper. Africa, it's your turn.
It's our turn. It's our turn. And Africa is calling us. Africa is calling us to come home, to prepare for this century. The century of the reemergence of Africa as a continent of wealth, as a continent of example being set for others. There's no doubt in my mind that once Africa gets it together with the help of us as the diaspora, we will be the model. We will be players in the world instead of pawns. One of the things that I believe, although I truly may not see it, but if there's to be peace in this world, Africa must play a vital part in it. It sure can't be the Europeans or all the others who are teetering on the brink of war. It is our turn now. We have to prepare. We have to work. We have to put our energies making that happen. It's our turn now. Today I'm going to talk about America's problem. America has a problem. And America's problem is us. America's problem is us. And anytime they used to say, what are we going to do? The Negro question. We're going to do it the Negro. You know, they had meetings. They had meetings about it. You know, not just that they met when they carved up Africa like they did, like a piece of cake in 1884, 85 in Berlin, Germany. The Berlin Conference, you know. No, this is deeper than that, you know. Yeah. They were serious about it. Very serious about it. So we have to be serious about it because that's what it's going to take. That's what it's going to take, dear brothers and sisters, you know. That's what it's going to take, us being serious and committed to willing to work with each other. And regardless of what's happening, let me be clear. In regard of what is happening around us, the many of the people who believe that things can get better, that we really can get ourselves out of this, I'm sorry. You know, them taking down monuments, changing the packaging. The real thing, if America's problem is to really be solved, is something that I believe they truly don't have the heart to do. And that is redistribution of wealth. That is reparations. That is reparations. Reparations for Africans, so Africans here in America can be on a solid footing economically and be able to begin to develop businesses, begin to employ our youth. Because the reality is, we don't run nothing here. We don't run nothing. We are job seekers. We are not job givers. And those who we seek jobs from can't stand our ass. And so we have a very tough time trying to fit into this situation and feel good about it. It's not going to happen. It never has happened, and it ain't going to happen. You can point to some things that have happened this year that you feel will be so monumental that this change will come within this year or within this decade, or has it still progresses. And that's your prerogative. Definitely, you know, if that's what you choose. I mean, we're trained to believe that. We've been believing that for a long time. We have been believing that somehow, some way, God will make the positive thing happen, where our humanity will be recognized and respected, where we can fully take place, take our place within the society. We can fully take our place within the society. We can have businesses that everybody wants to come to, not just a restaurant, but businesses of manufacturing and working with other industries and so forth. I don't see it happening. I want to play you this piece because this is what we're talking about here. Race in America. That's the main problem. There's no such thing as race. There isn't. And of course, there is no such thing as race, but of course, Europeans came up with the idea and the concept. If you want to research it, you can look at two individuals, Johann Blumenbach and Carl Linnaeus. They both came up with the stratification of human beings, Caucasoid, Negroid, and Mongoloid, that kind of thing, you know. And then, of course, they're at the top because they believe that in the evolutionary development that they are the top of human evolution and everybody else is lower, with Africans at the lowest. Africans were here first for literally thousands of years. Thousands of years. And I've explained the human development of Europeans many times on this program, and I'll probably do it many times more, of how they developed in that icebox, how they left out of Africa and got caught up in that icebox that is now called Europe, which genetically and physiologically changed them. But not only did it change them physically, it changed them mentally. Because if you're in a very harsh environment that is unyielding, doesn't provide a lot, you're going to develop a mentality of selfishness, of greediness, very individualistic, very me-orientated, very possessive. And of course, when we look at that situation, if you're selfish, obviously you don't give a damn about a mate or any other person. In fact, if you are out here looking and you ain't finding nothing and you see somebody and they made a kill, you probably go kill them and take their kill. You wouldn't come up there, hey, man, that's a lot, man. Why don't you share that with me and mine? Well, if they real Europeans, he'll say, to hell with you and yours. This is only about me and mine. And because of that mentality, women have always been devalued. But she had to stay there and take that unlike Africa, where there's always been a symbiotic relationship and an understanding, a complementarity of male and female. That was one thing that the Greeks did not understand when they came to study at the feet of African people, how we treated women. That what you see, what the Greeks called hieroglyphs, or properly called medunature, when you see the medunature and you see men and women, when you see statues or carvings, you see men and women. The development in the Greek, you don't see a lot of men and women. You might see a woman. I'm talking about together, joined, side by side. You see boys with men. Pedophilia and homosexuality, you see that. But you don't see family. That's why, of course, I have issue with Black Lives Matter. Because no, it is not promoting the African family of a man, a woman, and children, and relatives, her family, his family. You don't see that. And that's a part of America's problem. They fragmented us. Everything negative that's happened. Yeah, I know you always trying to blame the white man. You're damn right I'm trying to blame the white man, because he is the problem. He caused this. He had every ability to correct it. He has never wanted to play fair. It is not in him. It is not in his nature. It is not in his DNA. An individualistic mindset is not fair. It's about me. If I got to cheat, steal, rob, whatever, that is not our way. That is not the way of the first humans on this planet. It is the way of the ones who got cut off and who developed in that icebox. That's their way. Here are some of the problems of why. It's a little long. It's a Caucasian talking about this. So bear with us. But we're going to talk about this. It'll probably take us up to the time for us to have a break, and then we're going to have conversation. Also, too, I'm going to point out a couple of things because of this problem. This is called Race in America.
We need to talk about race. Why are people protesting? Why are people angry? Slavery ended 150 years ago. The civil rights movement was 60 years ago. Racial discrimination is illegal now. Heck, we even had a black president. So why are people still upset? We're going to go through history, and we're going to look at some data, and we're going to go quickly so this video doesn't get too long. So hang on. These are two households in America. One is black, the other is white. Today, the average black household has 60% of the income of the average white household, but only 1/10 of the household wealth. Why does that matter? Well, household wealth helps send kids to school, helps launch small business.
Technical difficulty. Hold on, y'all.
People still upset. We're going to go through history, and we're going to look at some data, and we're going to go quickly so this video doesn't get too long. So hang on. These are two households in America. One is black, the other is white. Today, the average black household has 60% of the income of the average white household, but only 1/10 of the household wealth. Why does that matter? Well, household wealth helps send kids to school, helps launch small businesses, stabilizes.
Well, I'm going to tell you, we're going to stop that. And I'll probably try to play that at another time then. It's not going to act right for me. And I played it all the way through. Why it's stopping there, I don't know. But what I was going to talk about, I'll talk about after we come back from the break. The result of America's problem, what it does to us, what it makes us feel about ourselves and each other. You know, there was a saying like, if Caucasians just hated us, we could handle that. But what Caucasians has done is they imposed a system on us. Because racism is a system of defamation. They defame us. Denial. They deny our humanity. That's what racism is. Defamation of denial and destruction. They destroy who we are and our legacy. Defamation, denial, and destruction of a people's history and culture and right to freedom based primarily on a false concept. Race is not a real concept. I gave you two individuals who came up with this idea of race, Carol Linnaeus and Johann Blumenbach. The idea of race, with them at the top position, everybody else at a lower position, with us at the lowest position. And therefore, that's why globally, because Europeans have done this, people think in that way. To be melanated, to be dark-skinned, is to be shunned globally. I don't give a damn what country you're in. If you're dark-skinned, you are at the low economic level or the lowest rung on the societal level. Dark skin, which is the benefit on this planet. The melanin. You can soak up the sun. Protects you from the ultraviolet rays of the sun. But yet they've made it evil to this such extent that people hate their dark skin. People bleach their dark skin. ESPN was doing 30-30, which is a profile. They deal with a subject, individuals, or incident, or whatever, for an hour, 30-30 on ESPN. They did the piece with Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire when baseball was trying to make a comeback because it didn't even have a World Series that year. Baseball went on a strike. So the following year, and even though Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire were taking steroids, and so did Barry Bonds when he broke Hank Aaron's home run record. He shattered it. And so even though they did that, they cheered at the time because they wanted baseball to come back. So they used that as an excuse. They cheered. Later, all three of them are not in the Hall of Fame because of it. But Sammy Sosa, if anybody had a chance to look at that, and then they show Sammy Sosa when he was playing with the Chicago Cubs, they show how dark he is, how his hair looks. He's from the Dominican Republic. And if there ever was a more color-struck people, it's the Dominican Republic. Mothers tell their sons, don't even bring nobody up in here looking like me. Many of the societies want to do what Venezuela has done. Argentina. What Argentina did. Once captivity was over, they got rid of Africans. They killed Africans. They imported Caucasians. Yeah. The Caucasians' problem. What they going to do with us? America's problem. They just wish we would disappear. Yeah. We're going to go to a break early so we can come back and you can join us in this conversation, okay, at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. This is African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. On Mondays from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds, public affairs programming out of Philadelphia with Brother Wahad. And then following that is Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. On Saturdays, Black Reality Think Tank Weekend Edition from 4 to 6, followed by Black Reality Think Tank, Sankofa, the Elders Council, from 6 to 8. On Sunday, from 7 p.m. until on Sunday, you will have, once again, Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Sunday from 7 p.m. until. And Monday through Friday, from 10 p.m. Eastern to 12 a.m., it's the Warm Valentine Show, right here on Time for an Awakening Media. And the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. I'm pretty sorry I couldn't play that piece because that was going to be a good setup. What I'm going to talk about with that setup is the when you have a system like that, that is so oppressive, that has literally taken our humanity away from us, that has made us think in such ways where we hate ourselves. Once again, we are a communal people.
But when you have been beat down with the idea of individualism, you don't care about anybody else. You don't even care about your family. You just care about getting yours. And then when you look at the kind of repressive system that it is, and then when you think that it's, you know, your fault, you're self-hating. Then when you look at us, I mean, I have a good friend, and, you know, I have to remind him periodically that he's constantly blaming us. You know, where you should put the blame where it squarely belongs. Just like I read that Inye Sesim. They did it. They are responsible. The situation globally that you see that African people are in, Europeans are responsible. They're the crux of the problem. And then, of course, there are some of us who are so beat down with it that we take a drastic measure. We kill the perpetrator. We kill the European. A brother in California. California man on trial for murder admitted he shot 4 Caucasians, 3 of them randomly, and says it was because he was fed up with racism. Once again, race isn't real. I mean, you know, when I don't use the word white to describe Europeans or Caucasians or Yoruba. I use those words because they're not white and we're not black. We're African. There's no such thing as race. So I say European Caucasian extremism. I don't use superiority. They are not superior. I use extremism. I thank my good friend, Brother Paul, from across the pond with that one. Because they are, they're very extreme in their behavior, particularly towards those that are outside of them. European Caucasian extremism, racism, because they devised it. They created it. They labeled it. And they put us in it. European Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege. Even though many Caucasians refuse to believe that there is any such thing as white privilege. Like they don't believe there's white privilege. They don't believe there's systemic racism. They don't believe anything that it makes them look bad or shows a courage favor with them. They dismiss it. Just like cognitive dissonance, because that's what it is. Even though they have perpetuated it, but when the truth is told, they dismiss it, they ignore it, because they can't handle the truth. 3 things Caucasians suffer from: cognitive dissonance, they believe they're superior, and there's not a damn thing that you can say to prove otherwise. I don't give a damn how much proof you have. Then there's Caucasian fragility. They're fragile. They don't want to hear about how evil they've been. They don't want to hear what they have done, the things they've stolen, the eliminating of other people. They don't want to hear that. They want to believe that they were good. They brought a religion. In fact, got almost cussed. That the religion they imposed upon us makes us behave in the way that we do. That's why this brother I'm going to read you about and Colin Ferguson, who I'm going to mention later, you know, they were tired of the religion because the religion makes us docile, forgiving. When they have done something to us, just like in the shooting in South Carolina, they weren't even buried yet, and yet some of us forgiving them because the theology that they've imposed on us makes us do so. Docile, forgiving. Even though you've hurt me, you've taken me from my home, you've taken my language, my traditions, my customs, my name, my heritage, my religion, Look what you have made me. Brother Corey Ali Muhammad's explanation for the killing came during a recorded interrogation that was played at a trial in Fresno, California. I don't want to do anything. I didn't want to do anything to law enforcement, so I just found some white men to kill, he told two detectives following his arrest in 2017. Mass murder. So on April 13, 2017, Muhammad shot and killed Carl Williams, a 25-year-old security guard at the Fresno Motel 6. Muhammad was at the Motel 6 to visit a friend when Williams spotted him and told the manager. After the manager showed up, Muhammad was asked to sign in and pay a visitor's fee, which led to an argument. Muhammad eventually paid the fee, but the manager later kicked him and the friend out because the manager allegedly felt threatened. Oh, you just don't know. Moments later, Muhammad approached Williams from behind and shot him. The slaying was caught by surveillance camera in the motel. He told the detectives he felt disrespected by Williams. It started taking its toll on you, and you get fed up with racism. You get tired of letting things slide. Muhammad left the scene and went on a run. As he mauled the move to San Diego or Los Angeles, he visited a Starbucks to use its Wi-Fi. When he connected to the internet, he found that he was wanted for Williams' death. It was then he decided to kill as many Caucasian men as possible since he was going down for murder. On April 18th, 2017, Zachary Randall, a 34-year-old Pacific Gas PGE employee, died after he was shot while sitting in the front passenger seat of his work vehicle. When I walked up to the truck, I saw a Mexican driver and a white guy, Muhammad told the detectives. I didn't want to target a driver because he was Mexican, so I shot the Caucasian. Two more men, 37-year-old Mark Gassett and 58-year-old David Jackson, apparently were killed later that day by Muhammad. If Muhammad is convicted for the killings, he faces the death penalty. His legal team is arguing the murders were triggered by mental illness. He's insane. He's insane. And I maintain that when you're in an oppressive society, some people are able to deal with situations better than others. Sometimes you just say, you know, because of the frustration. Because sometimes you do all that you think you were supposed to do. And still, it doesn't happen. But we must understand, it's never supposed to happen for us. And then when it happens for one of us, we feel good about that. But it doesn't translate into group or our people. It's just that individual, maybe his family. Because when you live in a society that perpetuates individualism, materialism, greed, and violence, that's why you have the disparities that you see. The wide disparities between us and them. That piece I was going to play to you was going to point those things out. And the point I was going to make, I'm going to try to get that together. Because the point I was going to make is that because of these deep economic disparities, because of the deep inequality that happens in this, there is... The only thing that will correct this situation is an overhaul of this system. You just can't take some damn monuments down or take Uncle Ben off the damn box and put the new Uncle Ben on it. You can't do those things. And then it's going to be automatically changed. The heart and mind of Europeans is still in the attitude of we are better. You're not going to change that. This is symbolism without substance. Symbolism without substance. I don't give a damn about some statues. Yes, I understand it. Yeah, I've always said the same thing myself. If you are going to a high school or a middle school, grade school, whatever, and the name of the person you don't know, and you research the person and you see that who and what he or she is or was and what they've done. I'm principled like that. Hell, I remember when my daughter was young, you know, and I would take her to the hospital for checkups and so forth. And they had these rooms that were painted with caricatures, you know. And so one room was Tarzan. And I told him, I'm not going to go to the Tarzan room. I go to any other character. I ain't going to no damn Tarzan room. That ain't going to happen. You know, I don't know if her mother did that. I don't know. I'm not sure. But I know I wasn't going to do it. She wasn't going in that room with me. You know, even if it was the last room. In fact, it was one time. And I said, I will wait. We'll wait. Because when you stand on some principle, you realize there's a lot of things in a society that you're going to have to challenge. When you stand on an African principle, because this is not African, brothers and sisters, and it never has been, and it never will be. This is what they've made it out to be. I'm going to take some calls. 404-453, 404-453, good afternoon.
Hey, hey.
Hey, brother, hey, how you doing?
Hey, oh, shit.
How you doing, man?
Hey,
Ooh,
man.
We're together.
Hey, I'm still at you.
All right,
hey,
Wes.
Man. Hey, I came up with myself. See, I learned myself. Well, I can interact and handle anybody else. So for me, my LT belong perspective, I'm not going to never get in an argument and fight with my brother and sister. Okay, right, that's wasted energy.
Right on.
And that's what the doggone enemy wants. Mm-hmm. Okay, and basically, see, I research the etymology of words, right? Okay, so words got a meaning.
Okay.
Okay, so if somebody keeps saying they believe, in the middle of belief is not. So that's their opinion. They repeat somebody else's story. So I don't even get in debate with nobody that use that word no more. And see.
To use what word? Belief? Facts. To use what word, Wes? Belief?
No, yeah, everybody use that word, believe and all that. That's in the middle of that is not. So I go.
I mean, I know there's a word in there, but. Right? But, okay, go ahead.
So,
go ahead.
And so what I go for, what I know. Okay, I'm going to give you a fact. Okay. In Georgia, my ancestor was him. Okay, we were doing good before 1735, before these Europeans showed up. And I swear to God, I wish my ancestors, I try to talk to them every day. Why'd y'all they kill them devils when they first came over here, man? In 1735, we were doing
that's good. Not the kind of people of melanin are. We're not
right,
that way.
Right, right.
We're xenophilic.
Right.
We're not xenophobic.
Yeah.
We're xenophilic, and so we that's welcome all. You. They, we understand the possible human connections yeah. of us as human beings.
Yeah.
You know.
Yes, sir. So once I realized that, so the enemy, you're right, they ice people, man. They ice people, come out of the ice age, stuck in ice as a survivor. And see, they done throwed out with that ice word on us. That's all we speak. All I want is just ice. No just ice, no peace. See? Every time that the universe don't work on ice. It worked on reciprocity. For every action, there's an equal opposite reaction. So what we should be wanting is the reciprocity. Okay? If they throw a rock, the rock shall be thrown on them, back at them. Okay, that's the way the flow of the universe, the energy works. Okay? So that's why I try to tell my people, that's all we've been getting is just ice, their whole box system. British Aerial Register, their court system is ice. It's set on from England. And so when you go to the port, the bar, the courtroom, to the bar, British Aerial Register, of just ice. That's all you black behind go get. So you better take you a liquid so you can put that just ice in your drink, man.
Okay.
Okay, so that's what I said in the etymology of words, man.
I tell you what, Wes, let me say one more thing.
Okay,
go ahead.
Okay, and so the climate changing, man. Ice is melting, bro. They know it. The ice system is melting, man. That's why they talking about some climate change. You damn right, climate change. The sun getting tired of their ass. So they melt, bro.
Well, listen, that's going to have deleterious effects on the planet, on all humanity, as the ice continues to melt, the sea continues to rise, and then coastal cities will be flooding and all kinds of stuff like you know.
But that works in our favor, man. That works in our favor. Because we water. So water going to seek its own level, man.
Yeah.
So that's why I don't get mad with some of my black people that's not on the same level vibrating that no more. Okay, water, we water. 70% water. Water will seek its own level, man. So that's a waste of time. You argue with some of our black people that's still in the ice age, bro.
Okay. But when you mentioned about words, yes, words have meaning. I did a program some time ago, so I think I got to do it again because I want us to be very aware of the words that we use and the connotation that those words have. I've been on a kick for many, many years about the words slave. We are not
slaves. This word, and this word race, okay, it's an action word. Race is a competition, bro.
Say what?
There ain't no color in this shit. Race is a competition. Okay?
Oh, okay. That's like a foot race.
So we compete, the melanated people in the competition at war with the ice people. And the ice people tie them up, bro. So we already won, man. We just keep on rolling, and once we get together, because I love my brothers down there over there where that wind is at, where that situation happened. Mm-hmm. Them Negroes that took over the street, so they don't want no cracker to come down the street, man.
Well,
that's beautiful.
Well, let me just say this: I understand the reason to make that a shrine because that brother was killed there, shot in the back. And I would say, and I'm just me being personal, that, you know, make that the shrine, make it, you know, go there, be respectful, play music, do spoken word and whatever. But, man, my contention is don't block the street. Don't block it.
I agree.
Don't block it.
I agree with that. But
let the flow of the street go, you know?
Yes, sir.
But,
yes, sir. Look at the date, though. Look at the date that happened, June 12th.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, last Friday, that June 12th date. We was commemorating the day America Evers getting shot, and that was 57 years to the day to the hour.
Yeah,
the same day they shot that brother in the back. Same day they shot America Evers, man.
Yeah,
June 12th, about 11:30 at night, man. You see how the universe works, man. This is fun to be alive, man. For me,
okay.
I see all this stuff, man.
Okay,
I see all this stuff, and y'all can see it too, man.
Well, just keep living.
Your thought and your word pattern.
Yeah.
And we already won, man. We already won, bro. Yeah.
Well, keep living, brother. I appreciate it. Right on, Wes.
All the time.
All right.
Yes, sir.
470-470. Good afternoon. Okay. Just want to listen. Okay. 404-734. Just want to listen. Okay. 602. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
How you doing, Brother Marcus? How are you today?
I'm doing great, good brother.
All right.
You know, you are so correct when you said, you know, we are America's problem as far as the white folks concerned, because it wasn't their intention to share America with us. Their intent was to use us and then discard us.
Exactly.
But after the Emancipation Proclamation, the first thing is, what are we going to do with these black folks? And that has been the consistent question with white folks, you know. And I keep saying, you are correct, there ain't no solution for black people here.
No.
It really pissed them off now, too, that you have black people in power position making you know, passing legislative laws against white folks. It really pissed them off now. Like the DA in Atlanta, the charge was two cops. See, they come out against him. See, they come out against him and fight against him because it really irked them that black people are in poor position.
Mm-hmm.
And the violence is only going to increase because, again, as I said, they're not going to share this country with black people.
No.
They just have
no, they're not. They're always, you know, Lincoln said it best. He says, I, as much as any man, is having the superior position assigned to the white race. You know,
exactly.
That quote right there, you know, he understood clearly. This is not about freeing you. You will never be free. This is about solidifying the union. If this so-called civil war was fought because we were in captivity, then once we were out of it, we should have been treated righteously, yes, fairly. But how were we, yes, treated? Once the damn war was over, how were we treated? Anywhere we could go.
Exactly. And
North, south, west, east, west, it didn't make a damn difference.
Exactly. They destroyed it. They destroyed any little community that we built. And we keep on talking about rebuilding and building in America. They're not going to build here. We are, you know, the sooner we as a people realize that and go and join the mass majority of our people on the continent, the better off. It's time for us to prepare our children. You know, get them to be scientists. Get them to be engineers.
Yes.
Get them to, you know, because that's what we,
yes,
need. We need engineers. We need scientists.
Yes.
And here they are, our children. That is the future. So let us sharpen out the minds of our children and go and build the motherland. Personally, I'm done with this place.
Hey.
Psychologically, I am done with it. You, know,
you and me like both, brother.
Yeah,
you and me both.
Waiting. Yeah, I'm just waiting on this corona to lift up, and then I'm going to start making my move because this place here is done.
Yeah,
America, as far as you know, I see for black and white folks. You see, because white folks catching hell too now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
This dysfunction in the earthing, they fighting amongst each other, and we are riding on white folks' coattail. So you better if you see massa fighting amongst themselves, you know what? Hey, massa, you later. You know, saying that is the type of black people. Leave them alone. Let them do what the hell they, and we go and build. We are, our continent is rich. Anything you drop.
Did you hear the beginning of the program?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Africa, yes. It's your turn.
It's our turn.
Africa, it's your turn. When he point, yes, out all of the riches that are on the, yes, continent, all, well, of the, yes, things, all of the possibilities that we have. All of it. It's all there.
Yep.
It's all there.
Some of our people living in Africa. I mean, you could live good in Africa.
And because of the misleadership, all this Western trained leadership here in America, in Europe, all those leaders or misleaders are willing to just give it away. They're willing for the Chinese with 300 million people. Chinese have 1 billion people. 300 million people to be relocated. Chinese to be relocated on the African continent.
Well, that's why it's so important for us to be on the ground so we can educate our people. Because that's what we have to do. We have to educate the mass majority of our people. And when our people move, all the Negroes that made those arrangements with them Chinese people, we sweep their ass away.
That's right.
And tell them, look, Chinese, hey, we didn't make that deal with you.
That's
they
right.
They made that deal with you. We got a different deal.
Right.
Now.
And we're not recognizing any we're not recognizing any so-called law outside of us.
We ain't recognizing the Hague. We ain't recognizing nothing. We're gonna close ranks, close Africa off, educate, build. 10 years later, once we really got it solid, then we're open for business. You want something from Africa? You will pay fair market value. You want to live in Africa? It will cost you more than it will cost an indigenous Africa. You want to be here? You want to come? I'm going to tell you, that's what has to happen. Because if we don't do that, and we allow 300 million Chinese, and next thing you know, just like the Caucasians who have not left Africa, particularly in South Africa, not just the country of Azania, but Namibia and other parts of Africa. They have done what we could never do anywhere in the damn world. They have a sovereign piece of land, so they say, that is theirs, and they have a security force to maintain it. I saw this piece on South Africa where we are allowed as Africans to go in there and work and help build, but once the sun goes down, we got to go.
In Africa. That's much.
And we can't do that. We can't do that anywhere on this damn planet. We can't go to any country in Europe. We can't go to Russia and do that. We can't can't go to China and do that. Southeast Asia, Australia and do that. But that's what the Caucasian has done. He went there. He established a foothold, built a fort, and began to branch out from there. And if he didn't negotiate, which of course was being very slick and sinister, then he killed you. Then he just go ahead and kill you.
Yeah. But them Yorubas in Namibia, them black folks don't circle them off with all kind of weapons.
Well, in Namibia?
I know in Namibia, for a fact, I know them Yorubas are all in circle. They will never, ever get back to Namibia.
Right. That's the Germans. That's the Germans.
They will never get it back. But you see, the Namibian government, you see, they made that deal with them because they wanted to keep that infrastructure.
And see,
they did in Guinea and then places when they chase them out, they dig up everything.
Right, they just tear it up, just like the French. That's why I can't stand the damn French. But my real disdain is for the British, and I'm gonna tell you why. Because those were the biggest of the enslavers of our people. Those were the biggest of the land grabs of our people, of our land. And because today, the British image is so nice. The British, Harry, the royals, the Queen. They ain't nothing but a bunch of damn murdering thieves.
The crown, the British crown.
Yeah,
the British crown. When you do a crime in Jamaica, it's the person against the British crown.
Yeah.
See? So Jamaica,
the sun never sets on it. The sun never sets on the British Empire because we take everybody's stuff. Yeah, in fact, they did a piece on New Zealand. You know. And you know what happened with New Zealand? They wiped them all out. Kill all of them. You know?
That's
genocide. Real acts of genocide.
The most is going to have the most. That is motto. He who kills the most is going to have the most. But the world is getting sick and tired of him. And they say, you know what? We'll kill you too, or we'll swap our life.
Yeah.
For you, the world getting sick of him, you know. Anyway, good brother, you too.
All right, thank you, brother Marcus. Appreciate you. Peace. 404-573.
Yes.
Hey, Queen. Hotep Queen. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm all right.
Good.
Well, I say that, but that's not really true.
Well, hey, it's gonna get better. Believe me.
Well, okay.
Okay.
But what I wanted to say is I see this as a call to arms. This uprising, this time, see the moment. This is a time for us to seize this moment. We have the world's attention now. We have, we as African people in this country and all over the world, we have the world's attention. So it's a call to arms. And no matter where you are not through. You're not finished. It ain't over. We got work to do. We got plenty, plenty work to do wherever you are, whatever your niche is. So you ain't through with this country. You ain't through with Jamaica. You ain't through in London. You just ain't through until you're done. So, you know, we really have to organize. We have to set our platform. They say, what do you want? We want a redress of our grievances. That's what we want. Firstly, you can give us our reparation, which is a solid fact. Secondly, we need to go back home and train those people, teach to our people who we are, who they are. We must do these things. So this is a call to arms. You know, you got work to do. You ain't over. Don't sit down and get comfortable because you got some grades. You got knowledge. Our young men need a rites of passage.
I agree. We need a rites of passage.
And our old men need a rites of passage. And our middlemen need a rite of passage. They have never had an introductory to manhood. They don't know what it is, what it looks like.
You're right.
They don't know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers and grandfathers,
mm-hmm.
y'all got work to do. In the village, it was the men who took the young boys always and taught them how to be men and gave them their rites of passage. We mm-hmm. need to do that, even with our elders who don't know what African manhood looks like.
Yeah.
So we got plenty of work to do. Don't get comfortable. Don't eat your grits and your shrimp and think you're doing okay, because we're not.
Okay.
We're not.
All right, my sister. Thanks, Queen.
Is that all?
Is that all? No, I'm asking you, is that all?
Yeah, I'm kind of short and sweet. I'm kind of short and to the point. So, brothers, y'all got, we got work to do. Don't get comfortable, is my point.
That's right.
Don't get comfortable.
Busy. Get busy.
Now, I heard last week that the UN took up our concerns. Have you? Is that true?
I don't know. I haven't heard anything. I don't know. I haven't seen anything. In terms of grievances to the UN has already said, the United Nations already said that American Africans particularly are owed reparations. But see, I look at reparations on a deeper level as repair for African people, for prepare for American Africans that are here, who are here in America, in the Caribbean, in South America, and truly on the continent. You know, because I look at the word reparations and the root word is repair. And that's what we need to do. It is not just about you getting a check so you can go buy some, you know, go buy a car, you know, some addition to your home and feel good about that. Or go or leave out from the hood so you can go live in the suburbs or in a subdivision.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't look at reparations like that. It's not to make you feel better, but it's to make us whole as a people. So to me, reparations should be given to build some institutions so we can teach our people to prepare ourselves to go home. So when they leave here, and then also to use some of that to build institutions in Africa. So we're teaching our people on the continent, in the diaspora, they're coming together, they're building railroads, they're building highways, they're building streets, they're building towns, they're building schools, they're building hospitals, they're building ports, they're making it happen. They're looking at land management. They, all of the land that is in Africa where we could grow food and feed the world, literally. That's mm-hmm. why China is trying to get their butts in Africa.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Absolutely. So, I don't look at the UN or the Hague as an end-all to our problems. Not whatsoever.
No.
It's just a platform. It's just a risen stage. It's just
right.
another stage
right.
where we can address internationally and globally. our grievances, which is undeniable, undeniable. So, yes, I heard last week that the UN, since this uprising, this time, this moment, because we don't know when it's ever going to come again. It may be another 150 years before this kind of moment comes again.
Well, let me just say this. Well, let me say this about that, Queen. I don't think this is any kind of watershed moment. It's just another moment that's happening. Although, you know, you can make the argument about what has happened is sparking things happening globally, and it is. I'm not going to deny that. I mean, hell, even you got Germans talking about Black Lives Matter. That's deep, you know, let alone the other countries, you know. But I don't see anything, no fundamental shift in terms of what's going to happen for African people.
Well, shift belongs to us. Mm-hmm. See, that's where that's our responsibility.
Okay, I agree.
Okay, people have said, oh, well, what's going on? It's us. It's up to us to let them know what is going on. And what we are going to do, what we need to do, it's up to us now. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
It's up to us to step up, you elders, you scholars, you teachers, you eloquent speakers, you knowledgeable people. Malcolm did this 40, 50 years ago, 60 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and it wasn't, you know, mm-hmm. they didn't get it.
Right.
But because we are on a global stage. I'm saying this is a moment. We don't know. This is a moment.
So seize it, right? Seize the moment.
Seize this moment. Because people are saying, what's wrong with you people? And they know what's going on. Mm-hmm. They know that Black Lives Matter.
Okay.
They know that. So I'm saying, okay, you know, you study, you earnest, you who have consumed and are living in the footsteps of your teachers and our scholars who have sacrificed their lives. This is your moment. This is your moment. I think we need to really, really seize this moment.
All right, Queen. Thank you, babe. Thank you.
You're welcome, dear.
Peace.
You're welcome.
646, good afternoon.
Oh, yo, what's happening, brother?
What's up, Jay? How are you today? Good.
Hey, I guess the white man over in Africa may be leaving on account of the chink man, huh? One oppressor replacing another oppressor, just one a little bit kind of, and the Negro just going to give it to him.
Well,
I tell you, man, sometimes I just get disgusted with these Africans over there. I mean, they just don't get it, man. Why can't they never realize that they got to fight to the death to save our continent? Why can't they realize that every time you allow somebody to come in and take over your land and your resources, we'll never be able to flourish on the level that we need to? What is so hard to understand that?
Yeah.
These people, they never come in there and deal on a common basis of fairness. Here it is, you got them chinks going over there setting up restaurants and not serving African people on your land. I mean, come on, man.
That ain't even right, is it?
Eating the garbage in the first place. Yeah. But the point is, your height of arrogance. Even if you're making deals, and then when the deals are figured out to be not fair deals, you take over the projects and then kick the people off of the project, bringing over thousands and thousands of people to work the jobs instead of using the indigenous people of the land on the job. I mean, it's really sickening, man. But the reality is, you can't blame the chink for it. Because the reality is, we the one who allow the chink to get away with it. So if you're going to allow the chink to get away with you, deserve whatever manner in which they treat you. At some point in time, you'll wake up. Hopefully it won't be too late. But that's just our problem, the way things are.
If there's
go along and get along with the enemy.
Yeah, if there's 300 million Chinese on the continent, I consider that pretty late, you know. But then again, they can be expelled. They can go back where they came from, you know. If we can get it together, they can go back where they came from.
But I mean, just think about the arrogance of you even making it seem like you're going to put that many people on the continent. I mean, that right there should be the wake-up call.
You know, what's interesting is that
here
we are on a continent that, you know, from a historical standpoint or geological standpoint, that is really the center of landmass. Africa goes all the way down. You know, other people, I mean, the other continents drifted apart. Africa is the center. You can see when they talk about that country of Pangaea, you could see where other countries could fit into parts of Africa, you know, like a puzzle, you know, because Africa was the center. Africa was the beginning of life. Africa is the beginning of human beings. Homo sapien is the beginning. And they migrate from that point. And what makes human beings different is the ability to survive in the climates that they have gone into, to adapt to those environments. Either you adapt or you die. And so those changes happen to human beings. Still all human beings, but they're changes. I know...
Bottom line is...
Huh? I'm sorry, say what?
Element of a people.
Say what? Go ahead. Say that again.
I was saying something is fundamentally wrong with us, and...
Sorry again, Jay. Didn't hear you. You said something is fundamentally wrong with us. Let me tell you what's wrong with us.
It's just becoming sickening.
Well, what's wrong with us is that we can't break the monopoly that they have on our minds. We can't release the vice grip that the European has put on our minds. That's what's wrong with us. That's what's wrong with us. We can't acquire, we're afraid to acquire the knowledge of self that will make us feel good about who we are and give us an identity and an understanding of connectedness, that we are one, that we are one Africa. What we're trying to establish now on the continent with the Pan-African Federalist Movement, one Africa. It's what Kwame Nkrumah said at this speech in 1957, when Ghana was the first country on the continent to break away from the Europeans. He said it himself, we must be united. Patrice Lumumba said the same thing, he was killed. Thomas Sankara of Burkina Faso said the same thing, he was killed. Idi Amin said the same thing. And they want to make Idi Amin look like some damn stark waving fool, like he was some kind of cannibal. No, he was not. And so the image that you saw of Forrest Whitaker winning an Academy Award for The Last Man of Scotland or some bull like that, that's not Idi Amin. They mad because he kicked the British out. They're mad because he kicked those Indians out. All should be kicked out so we can control the continent. And I'm talking about the north, too. I ain't talking about just south of the Sahara. You know, those, what did they call it? Sub-Saharan Africa. No, I'm talking about the north, too. I'm talking about the slavery that goes on in Morocco and in Mauritania and Libya. That's what I'm saying. To me, the worst, the most gravest thing that Barack did was had Muammar Gaddafi killed. I hate Barack Obama. I'm serious. I can give less than a rat's ass about Barack Hussein Obama doing the bidding for the Caucasian.
You got no business talking about Puff the Magic Negro like that. What's wrong with you? You should be ashamed of your black African self to talk about that damn mulatto Negro in that fashion. What's wrong? What's wrong with you? You sounding kind of crazy there, Ochi. Well, I mean, the Negro is up in arms now. You know what I mean? Uncle Ruckus would be proud of you for the way in which you speak it right now.
Uncle Ruckus.
You know, but the reality is, if you understand history and you have any concept whatsoever of history, then you know that Puff the Magic Negro Obama was a disaster. It's just sad that our people don't realize it. And now that there's talk of Biden picking Susan Rice,
Is that right?
Imagine what's going to happen.
Is that right? They're talking about him picking her? Picking Susan
Rice as his VP.
Oh man. I'd rather have Kamala Harris.
Yeah, but you know, the reality is, if you're gonna go about who has the experience, you gotta take Rice. I mean,
Jay. She was never elected any office. She's always been appointed, and appointed positions weren't really strong appointed positions. I think the best chance. I'd rather him choose Val Demings, who used to be the police chief of Orlando. At least she's a legislator.
I'm hearing talking lately is pushing this Keisha Lance Bottoms, which Lord knows I don't know why your name is being pushed, because she's something. Now, she just what I refer to as a little bit of good light skinned eye candy. Other than that,
Stop it, Jay. Well, let me just say this. I think she's been courageous for the city of Atlanta. I could care less.
She's going to talk about growing up, and let's be honest, about the white man doing what the white man do. You would have to take Rice. I mean, you know, she just, like I said, she has the experience. She's been in the position. No, she do.
What experience does she have?
You got more experience than her.
What experience does Susan Rice have? She was an ambassador. What experience does Susan Rice have?
What experience?
Yeah.
Come on, man.
She's never been a legislator, as far as I know. Has she been a legislator? No. I mean,
people all over the world on the level that Kamala Harris, Val Demi, and damn sure not Keisha Bottoms, whatever her name is, has ever done. They've never sat at the tables that she sat at, bro. Come on. I mean, look at her resume. You got to be clear on one's resume, bro. Her resume is no joke.
Just because she represented this country as a UN ambassador and she was also a secretary of, I don't know.
She was Secretary of State for Barack. But look, it ain't about what you look like for none of them. None of them colored girls. Who are they really? And whose agenda will they represent?
White man's agenda.
Rice ain't never been for black people. I never heard of stand up for black people.
Exactly.
Keisha Lance Bottoms is just a puppet. All this corruption that's been going on in Atlanta, I see her as an Al Sharpton, an opportunist. Ooh. She can't even speak. She don't represent nothing. She's a bole, all of them. They are bole. Get Catherine Eldridge. I mean, you don't have to get a black woman. You could. That's just a ploy, a political ploy.
Yeah.
That's all that is. We have to get people who represent our interests and have a history of representing
our people. Holly Berry, make me feel good. That's all. Holly Berry, make me feel good. That's all. And that's exactly what the Negro loves. I mean, we need to be putting South African burning neckties on the John Lewis's and the Jim Clyburns and the rest of them for the type of treason that they have done against the African nation and African people in this country. We going backwards.
No, we're not going forward. No, Jay, because those individuals back then, as well as now, and probably unfortunately even in the future, they do the bidding of what is good for America. And what is good for all Americans. What is good for all Americans. That's what they're about. That's what they're about. You know, they want to strengthen the status quo and maintain it. So Caucasians,
are they good for me and you?
No, of course not. Because what's good for America is what the Caucasian has created. And keep him in the position. Keep him strong. Keep him financially in the positive position. And have everybody else in a begging position. Even white folks in a begging position. That was that Southern strategy that Johnson told the Caucasians down the South. He says, yeah, but hey, you know, I'm doing these things for these Negroes, but at least, you know, you still white.
Hey, brother. Oh, one last thing. We better do two things. We better stop trying to take down these flags and statues of the daddy, because that's going to just take the daddy over the edge. And he going to start head whipping on some of your Negroes for taking away his shines and his heroes. He getting tired of y'all Negroes keep on talking about we not going to have America be what America should be. Y'all got to leave it alone. Let us have something. Y'all have took everything away from us. Y'all have tried to reclaim OJ. Y'all always now talking about we can't get Aunt Jemima no more. We can't do nothing. What the white man gonna be able to do in this country? That's a white man country.
Brother Jay, you know, and I know all those things are symbols, and all it is symbolism without substance.
That's it.
They were just restructured as long
as change the life of African people. Is this no good, filthy, sticky cracker gonna be more kind?
No, of course not. No.
Y'all Negroes are crazy.
He has been the master of illusion, making us think, and deception, making us think that somehow there's going to be a better day for us in this madness, in this insanity. Just hold on.
If I take away a flag and a statue, I mean, that's so ridiculous and silly. All you can do is just shake your head. You telling me you take down a statue, you take down a flag, things are going to change. I'm now going to feel good about myself. My kids are not now going to be able to look and see themselves in a different light. If they didn't see themselves as superior to you, cracker, from the start, they never will. I mean, this is just absolute silliness. It's ridiculous. It's basically slapping you in the face because ain't nothing going to change.
Yeah. Because hey, you know what, Jay?
You see how Fredo is getting sick of it? I'm going to leave you with this, O.
Hold on.
If Fredo get back in office, you're going to see the 50s and 60s again with fire horns and dogs sit on them.
Yeah, we'll sit see. Listen, wow. I was going to, part of my presentation, this was basically talking about the America's problem. And, of course, the effect on America's problem on us. I already talked about the brother that killed those folks. I was going to talk about our favorite brother, Colin Ferguson.
What a Negro.
I was going to talk about Colin Ferguson, who's a Jamaican king.
Colin Ferguson.
Yeah, well, he's as long as he can live, he'll be in prison, you know.
Well, hey.
But the bottom line is that he killed six and injured 19. He killed six Caucasians on that train. And injured 19, you know.
He did the Lord's work, if you ask me. Yeah.
Well, listen,
I think he did. I think he did the Lord's work. I think sweet baby Jesus guided him to doing that.
Well, I do know this. I got to run. So,
hold tight, brother.
All right, man. Peace, Queen. All right, brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs. With the words of Stephen Biko, the most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind, but not just the MIND,
but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that the world wants, thinks it can't do without, and they sure in the hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shemhotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bifuhodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. You have a wonderful day. See you on Friday when I guess we'll be the best. We'll talk about some history about individuals that made history here in this country. Peace, family.